Crawford, Marion Stowell. St. Helena, California, April 1st, 1907. Mrs. Crawford, Dear Sister, I have received your letter containing the information regarding Nichols. I could read your letters very readily. I shall write to Brother Nichols very soon, perhaps today. I have done considerable writing this winter during the early hours of the morning. I am having some difficulty with my eyes, which I expect to recover from, but which makes it necessary for me to be guarded in the way I use them at present. I am glad to learn that you are laying your treasure up in heaven. The counsel Christ gave in regard to the investment of our means is the best advice we can follow. The question you ask, in regard to using your means to purchase certain articles, I will answer by asking you, if Christ were here, and you could ask him, what would he say? In hearing and possessing the Word of the living God, great responsibilities rest upon us. A knowledge of the Word of truth makes us responsible for the means that God entrusts to us. It is a great privilege to have means to invest in the cause of God, and the follower of Christ is blessed who desires to place his means where, instead of ministering to selfish desires, it can help to work out the purposes of God. This is your privilege. It is possible for you to so use your Lord's entrusted means that by it souls may be won to Christ. The souls thus won to Christ, accepting their privileges as children of God, will use their capabilities and influence to win still others to a knowledge of truth. These, in their turn, being not only hearers but doers of the word, also labor for the salvation of souls. Thus your gifts to the cause of God continue to produce good works, the results of which can only be known in eternity. When we think of the great gift of heaven for the redemption of a sinful world, and then consider the offerings that we can make, we shrink from drawing a comparison. The demands that might be made on a whole universe could not compare with that one gift. Immeasurable love was expressed when one equal with the Father came to pay the price for the souls of men and bring to them the gift of eternal life. The Prince of Life would destroy the power of death. Shall those who profess the name of Christ see no attraction in the world's Redeemer? Will they be indifferent to the possession of truth and righteousness, and turn from the heavenly treasure to the earthly? Can you, my sister, use the Lord's money to purchase diamonds or any other jewels for any person? These cannot save one soul. They will not lead anyone to accept the saving truths for this time. Let us do nothing to encourage a vanity that is sinful. No, my sister, save the money you may be tempted to spend in this way, and place it where it will bring honor and glory to Christ. When your brother becomes anxious to secure the pearl of great price, which is truth, pure, unadulterated truth, he will see that that which he now deems wisdom is vanity. We are striving to come into possession of eternal riches. In the appropriation of your means, let it be used in such a way that it will be constantly yielding returns to God. In placing in another's hands that which would be spent merely to gratify human vanity, you are placing that portion of your means where it can bring no returns to God. The Lord has made you a steward of means, that you may do good works in many ways. Be careful that you do all things with an eye single to the glory of God. Our offerings made to carry out the great plan of salvation will bring glory to the one for whose sake the gifts were made. As the Lord's stewards, we are to work for time and for eternity. Oh, how great is the work before us! I pray that you may so use your talent of means that it will bring blessing to many souls. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. John 3, verse 16 to 21. This gospel message is one of the most precious passages in the New Testament. When it is accepted, it yields in the lives of the receivers good deeds, whose value is far above that of diamonds or gold. These words have a power to bring consolation and gladness into the earthly life, and they are eternal life to those who receive them. Oh, that we might have our understanding so enlightened by grace that we could take in their full meaning. The Father is saying to us, I will bestow upon you a treasure more precious than any earthly possession, a treasure that will make its possessors rich and blessed forever. In this life, our riches are limited, but the great treasure that God offers in His gift to the world is unlimited. It comprehends every human desire and goes far beyond our human calculations. In the great day of final decision, when every man shall be judged by his record in the books of heaven, every voice will be hushed. It will be seen that in His gift to the human race, God gave all He had to give, and they are without excuse who have refused to accept the gracious offer of salvation. My soul is weighed down when I think of the careless and impenitent who have had great and wonderful light, but who do not grasp the opportunity they have of coming into obedience to the law of God. The 10 holy precepts, given amid demonstrations of power and grandeur from Mount Sinai by God Himself, declare the principles that rule in heaven. They were made known to man that he might understand the terms of entrance into the holy city, New Jerusalem. Only those who turn by repentance and conversion to a life of obedience to God are assured of a life of happiness and peace in the Father's home. To such, the gates of the city are opened. The eternal substance is given them, and they inherit all things. Now, my sister, I think your question is answered. Obedience to the commandments of God will secure you an entrance into the city of God. Speak to your brothers. Turn ye, for why will ye die? Ezekiel 33, verse 11. Oh, why should any choose to stand on the side of the great rebel, to the loss of the soul? Tell your brother to prepare to meet the Lord. Be of good courage in the Lord. Press the battle to the gate. And when the gates of the city of God are thrown open, and the righteous nation which has kept the truth shall enter in, may you be numbered with that glad company, is my prayer.